Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, Big Radio Midgets production, out of Cincinnati this weekend. A very special guest and the author of a brand new book called The Next Evolution of Marketing. Connect with your customers by marketing with meaning. That makes so much sense. Bob Gilbreth is going to be with us here in just a little while. I'd also like to say that we've got Jean Bliss coming up here momentarily. She's got the brand new book, I Love You More Than My Dog. That's a great Christmas gift, by the way. And she's talking about customer loyalty reps. That would be your customers. And a little bit later on, we are happy to welcome back to the show Jeffrey Gittimer. Jeffrey is, not many people don't know Jeffrey, okay? He has a weekly e-zine. He has dozens of books. Customer satisfaction is worthless. Customer loyalty is priceless. And he's one incredible sales trainer. A little bit later on, Jeffrey is going to be talking about how humor might work. And this is a solid humor. It says humor, make them laugh. So we'll get that from Jeffrey as well. But just a lot of stuff going on here at the Advertising Show as we get into the here the week before Thanksgiving. And, I'll tell you one thing, Brad. This holiday season is coming on so quickly. I heard some people this past week commenting, oh, man, it's on so early, you know, Christmas and everything. It's like, no, it's not. And if you were smart, you'd take advantage of that just like your competitors are doing and maybe get the word out about your company as well. You know, yeah. One place I would hate to be, not that I don't like the city, but because I do love Detroit, is Detroit at this particular point in time. This past Monday morning, 485 employees of BBDO's Detroit office received an email telling them to take a five-minute drive to a conference center that had been host to past agency gatherings. There, the Andrew Robertson, the worldwide CEO, flew in from New York for the meeting, stepped in front of the group and informed them that a new contract would not be reached with Chrysler. It is the office's single client, and that BBDO Detroit would be shutting down at the end of January. And I got to tell you, that's a good city and a lot of great creative. When I was in Detroit, it was in the early, late 70s, early 80s. And it was a prospering, thriving, wonderful, and really cool place to be. And a lot of good stuff came out of there. And I tell you, I'm not feeling so happy about saying that, you know, well, there goes BBDO Detroit. Don't know how you rebound from something like that. You know, Brad?
Well, you go after Subaru because the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, Ray, just recently came out with their results of their crash test of 2010 model cars. Maybe you've seen it. Subaru did extremely well. Several models came out great there. But I don't know. As I was watching that, and it is sad about BBDO, the hell of a way to find out, right? Email, 5 minutes later, you get whacked.
Yeah, but no Christmas party.
Well, it makes you wonder, although you couldn't have kept that under your hat until after the holidays.
No, of course.
It would have come out anyway. But, you know, when I saw that thing about it comes out every year on this crash test. As I saw that, I began to think whoever the guy is that decided to market the Hummer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'd like to be driving the car they use to ram into the cars being tested. So that would seem to be the safer vehicle. So why doesn't somebody get out and market those and tell it like it is? This is the car that rams into those other cars that are tested, and you'll be safer than even all those other cars.
It's a block of cement. But, boy, it's bad on gas, too. And not real comfortable. Speaking of cars, I found out that DeLorean was a big deal back in the 80s.
And, the Coke Sniff.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They're manufacturing those cars again. Here in our home market of Houston, as a matter of fact, Humble, to be specific, there is a DeLorean motor car company that is, took all the parts. And we'll put one together for you. We've got one. Got one on the lot right now. It's your favorite color, silver. Or aluminum, I should say.
Are they, well, I'm sure, well, I have to read about it, but engineering-wise, you know, all aluminum, it wasn't the lightest car. It was pretty cool looking. Johnny Carson had an investment in that company from his buddy John DeLorean, and I mentioned that about cocaine because it was well known that that's kind of what brought that company down. He had a, you know, had a drug chew, and it's unfortunate.
Well, good news for DeLorean followers, the car is not dead. John is dead, but the car is not dead, or something like that. So kind of cool. Bob Gilbreth is with us this weekend here at the Advertising Show, The Next Evolution of Marketing. Connect with your customers by Marketing with Meaning. It's published by McGraw-Hill. We're going to talk with Bob here in just a moment out of Cincinnati on the Advertising Show. Right now, Gene Bliss with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. That would be Blad Forsyth, right?
Thanks.
There you go.
Welcome to the customer experience. Making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Clarity of purpose extends well beyond the boardroom of beloved companies. It unleashes the organization's imagination to make decisions guided by its promise. A clear purpose elevates day-to-day tasks, giving work direction and joy. Clarity of purpose fuels internet clothing and shoe retailer Zappos.com in its customer devotion. One decision Zappos acts on every day is helping customers find a pair of shoes, even a pair they don't stock. Customer loyalty reps who take customer calls are encouraged to know competitors' websites for one simple purpose, service. If a customer calls Zappos for a shoe it doesn't have, their reps will search the internet to help the customer find it. Customers are continuously amazed, delighted, and dazzled by this act of genuine customer care. What do you do when customers ask for a particular item that you don't stock or have on hand? Do you help customers find it or push them into something else to make the sale? You will earn the right to customer devotion when you help them get what they really need.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
So that's what it's all about, customer loyalty reps here with Gene Bliss and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. What do you have there?
Well, yeah, I had the honor of getting a WebEx, a review of the new Malibu media platform by SpotRunner, which was just launched earlier this past week. It was a preview, as I said. And for those that may not be familiar, Malibu is simply a web-based technology platform for facilitating the process of buying and selling television advertising, of course, obviously benefiting media sellers, ad agencies, and their clients. It's an interesting platform, Ray. Core tenets are that media sellers preserve control over their inventory pricing and buyer relationships, which has always been an issue, and buyers preserve their buying power on behalf of their clients. John Gentry, who we've had on the show here, president of SpotRunner, was part of the WebEx along with his technology head, Marco Dinello. So thank you to both. Good luck, SpotRunner. It's a hell of a platform. I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it. And good luck to SpotRunner for getting that out there.
It's a good thing. Bob Gilbreth is on the way here, author of a brand new book called The Next Evolution of Marketing. Let's see. Sir Martin Sorrell, Some Timeless Truths Restored for Modern Marketing and Many New Ones Added, an inspiring reminder of the value of brand behavior and how to make it happen. John Gersma, Chief of Insight Officer, Young and Rubicam, also writes, persuasion is given way to sharing and marketing will never be the same. And is going to find out more about what we have here in The Next Evolution of Marketing. Bob Gilbreth, our special guest here at the Advertising Show, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The Ad Show is being powered by Shipple and a really cool marketing platform called Tendency. Go to the Shipple website and you'll find out there's a lot of new and cool stuff out there as well to it. Shipple, it's SCHIPUL.com. And it's good stuff, so check it out. Hope you stay with us for the interview and much more here at the Advertising Show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Please don't squeeze the
Thanks for taking the time to hang out with Ray and Brad here at The Advertising Show. And a very special guest out of Cincinnati is the chief marketing strategist at Bridge Worldwide, one of the nation's largest digital advertising agencies, and part of WPP, Bob Gilbreth leads the strategic planning team within the agency, advising clients like P&G, ConAgra, Kroger, Luxottica, Abbott Laboratories, and more. He has his writing has been featured in Brand Week, Ad Week, Advertising Age. He's spoken at Ad Tech and Harvard Business School. He has also taught classes at NYU and at what a wonderful school, Miami University in Ohio. So, hey Bob, it is a pleasure to have you here at the Advertising Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, Bob, what's new at Bridge? Anything you want to break here on the Advertising Show? New client acquisition, some clients you've been working on that you don't want to announce through the general media, but you want to tell our audience?
I think this is where the general media are getting all their scoops here.
You know, I think you're right, Bob. Go right ahead and reveal all those trade secrets. That's fine.
No, it's been a very good year for us. Luckily, we're seeing growth and really benefiting from our clients moving dollars both to digital overall, which is still growing, and frankly, I think a lot of them are buying into what we've been preaching for a while, which is that, you know, to really survive and thrive in this new consumer-led economy, you've got to create marketing that people find meaningful.
Well, you know, WPP, your parent company, has always been at the forefront of digital media, I believe, and the use of digital platforms to the benefit of clients, and your company certainly specializing in that. Not surprising that you guys had a good year, and you guys are, you know, you by way of being associated with WPP, I think says a lot for your company, and it all starts at the top, I suppose. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, Martin Sorrell has been a great leader for us, someone who I've gotten to spend some time with here in Cincinnati and also at events around the world, and really does a great job of putting the puzzle pieces together and then empowering us to make sure we're doing the right thing for our clients.
That's right.
Yeah, the guy really is insightful and sees things that a lot of CEOs of large holding companies, agency and marketing holding companies, aren't getting quite as well as he is. Let's talk a little bit about your book. Interesting read. As our audience knows, if we have an author on the show, we think a lot of the author and the book because we get inundated with books and pitches from publishing companies. So having made the cut here, Bob, welcome. And let's start off by talking a little bit about some of the, I don't know, advertising in general. We've all seen unfocused and poorly executed marketing and advertising out there. So define for us what meaningful marketing is, Bob, as you describe it in your book.
Sure. I think it really starts with, I mean, the overall message I have is that the model for marketing, kind of the basis of how we talk to consumers is starting to change before our eyes. And my goal is to show why that needs to be changed and then help marketers who have been doing things the traditional way really move to the new model. Kind of starts with the premise that we're in a world where the kind of interruptive method of marketing is having less and less success, and that's a combination of people having more ability to control the media they use, and in many cases do that by either skipping ads with DVRs or, say, listening to their iPod instead of the radio station where they can get hours and hours of commercial-free radio. Another thing that's just happening is that, you know, at this point people are being besieged with 3,000 ad messages a day. They're getting better and better at ignoring the kind of noise that encounters them. And when you have that situation, there's really one of two things you can do. You can either find new and clever places to put your ad on gas pumps, on turnstiles at sports stadiums, and I've even seen advertising on sheep in a field in the Netherlands, believe it or not.
That's illegal in the United States, Bob.
Yeah, so
okay,
far.
Don't bring that up.
You know, you can go in that route, and some companies are trying that, but again, you're just the 3,001st ad message there. But other companies are discovering that in a world where you can't force your message on people, the only thing you can really do is create marketing that they choose to engage with and advertising that itself adds value. And I think that that latter choice is what a lot of brands are starting to find success with, and entire companies made up of multiple brands are finding that that's a way to win and grow share and also do advertising that is a lot more fun and interesting to work on and things that actually you can be a lot more proud of.
Hmm. You know, I think a lot of people might think that you're talking about cause-related marketing, but you're talking about a difference here, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, that cause marketing is one of many things that I think fall under this idea of meaningful marketing. And the overall starting point, is, and there's kind of three buckets that I think broadly brands can take. The first one is solutions, and that's really kind of the entry level of providing information, offers, free samples. Even a coupon is meaningful, people. It helps get through a trial barrier. It's something that they opt into and are looking for to help them make that decision. Websites that provide information on a disease, you know, that's meaningful marketing in many cases. The second class I call connection marketing, where you're creating entertaining experiences that people can often share. And I think one of the examples here is when you see any type of product allowing a level of personalization. So My M&Ms, where you can sort out what color you want, put a message on it, and order a bag. Mm-hmm. We did something for Pringles where we allowed people to create their own kind of custom wrap for their cans, or their own label, where they were uploading pictures of their kids playing football and things like that. That's a way that people really can personalize and get something out of that marketing. And then that highest level we call achievement marketing, where people can improve themselves and improve the world. And, you know, whether it's Home Depot teaching you how to build a deck on your house, or, again, really good cause-related marketing that puts the brand in the center of doing something, I think that can achieve it there. But it's really kind of that starting point of how can we do something that is related to the brand, related to the category, but is a bigger goal, a bigger objective, something that people actually invite into their lives.
A very special guest is Bob Gilbreth out of Cincinnati. The new book is called The Next Evolution of Marketing, Connect with Your Customers by Marketing with Meaning. Thus the website, marketingwithmeaning.com, is where you'll find out more about that. Here with Ray Schillen and Brad Forsyth. We've got Bob for a couple more segments here. We hope you'll stick around as well here at the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Whether or not the automotive industry gets it, hopefully your company does, or the company you work for. The Next Evolution of Marketing, Connect with Your Customers, Marketing with Meaning. And the author of the book is out of Cincinnati this weekend with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show, Bob Gilbreth. Bob, it's good to have you here at the Advertising Show. You would think that the bigger companies get this kind of stuff and are implementing and doing what they can do. But the concepts of this work with small businesses as well?
I think it works a lot better with smaller businesses in many ways. I think the biggest reason is that small business doesn't have a lot of the resources, can't afford the big, glitzy, expensive, multi-million-dollar media plans. So they're always been forced to do something scrappier and hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that, you know, with meaningful marketing, especially with small business, you can actually reach out and directly interact many times with your customers. If you run a restaurant, if you're a real estate agent, you know, you can do some things that can really touch people directly, and you can see the immediate benefit. One of my favorite examples is a lot of people talk about in big brands wondering, how do I tap social media? There's a restaurant down the street from our office that has created a Facebook account. And what's brilliant is they use that for a very simple function. They tell you at about 11 o'clock what the special is for the day through Facebook.
Oh, wow.
You know, right about the time when you're thinking about lunch, and it's in a social network where you can often organize who's going to go down the street. And the only other way to know what the special is, you know, my favorite buffalo chicken wrap is if I walk by, and now I know what's there and when to get it.
And so they deliver too, right? Is that Bob?
They do deliver as well.
We'll get some of that here.
You know, staying with that food idea, I understand a lot of these food trucks in New York and various other markets are using Twitter to tell their potential customers where they're located, what part of the block, et cetera, et cetera.
Really?
So, you know, social media, as we all know, is being used not only by the social fabric of the world we live in, but also business. Going back, Bob, to the three buckets, as you mentioned last segment, what you call in your book, The Hierarchy of Meaningful Marketing. You mentioned connection marketing, more or less basically product personalization. Are you saying that, or let me just ask you outright, is product personalization in the messaging or in the product or in both?
Well, I think it's in all. I mean, I think anytime you're able to allow people to customize their experience with a brand, I think that's where it kind of hits on. And again, one of many forms of how to achieve success with connection marketing. So in some cases, it's personalizing a product. In some cases, it's Doritos, for example, coming up with its, I think, fourth annual Crash the Super Bowl contest where people are creating commercials and putting it in a contest to try to win a couple million bucks. You know, all those cases where you're allowing somebody to create and personalize the brand, I mean, what's going on in their brain is they're forming literally tighter connections. They're making it theirs, literally, which is what great branding has always been about. Instead of, though, having a clever 30-second ad, having people engage and personalize it is a much deeper connection, I believe.
You know, Ray asked the question about small business using a lot of your ideas in your book, and I wanted to ask you something I think may be near and dear to a small business person's heart. In chapter on solution marketing, you discuss the difference between Sunday coupons and free samples. You describe, if you would, Bob, why samples are so much more meaningful than simply a customer giving a customer a discount.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, sample is that gift without having a forcing to have a purchase. I think that's a key difference there is with meaningful marketing, when it works the best, it's not forcing the customer to buy something as part of that. It's the really standing behind your product and saying, I believe in it so much that if you try it, I believe you'll like it. Again, what happens there naturally, you know, in our mindset is that we want to repay the favor. Getting a free gift like that is something where, again, if we enjoy the product or service, we feel compelled to reward the company by giving them our business. Hmm. And again, if you know, that's often at full price versus just taking a discount and assuming and kind of putting a lower value equation where you just have a coupon with it.
Yet so many companies fall into that unfortunate pitfall. You know, a Valpak, you know, that's loaded with discounts and coupons. I love the idea of a free sample. It's been done successfully in other areas, if not so legal marketing, I think, is one way to put it, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's from the business model of the drug pusher, isn't it?
Well, yeah, something like that, Brad, and I wasn't going to come out and say that, but you know what I'm saying. But it's all in a good way, and I think it makes a lot of sense as well. Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think, unfortunately, the mindset of some business people is such, and it's a mentality, and that is just to simply discount their products and think that that's their competitive advantage. And they either learn the hard way that that's not the way to sustain your brand, or they find a new line of work. You know, you say in your book, Bob, as we wrap up this segment.
Well, let's do this, Brad. Before you ask that question, let's take a break and then come back, and we'll do that here in just a minute, okay?
All right.
Back in just a moment with more. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show with our very special guest, Bob Gilbreth, out of Cincinnati, the next evolution of marketing. Connect with your customers by marketing with meaning. Good stuff there. And we'll be back with more in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find is a real thing.
Got to say, this would be a great read for businesses small and large as you roll into a new year with a little bit of uncertainty here. It's the next evolution of marketing, connecting with your customers by marketing with meaning. Those marketing dollars, obviously, are going to go further. The author of that book out of Cincinnati is our special guest this week. Bob, thanks for being on the show, and welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You know, as I was mentioning last segment, you say in your book, to create meaningful marketing, advertisers must deliberately blur the line between their product and marketing so it becomes as valuable as the purchase. I found that statement intriguing, Bob. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, I think that's where, if you look at some of the greatest case studies today, it's marketing is not a department, and advertising is not what all that marketing is. I think companies that really put it all together and build complete experiences, you know, in a way, that's what marketing always has been. I think a sad thing is that the CMO's job or the marketing department's job is too often just deteriorated into being someone who creates the ad campaign. The greatest brands really start with an overall brand purpose that hits everything, the marketing, the product, the manufacturing, and it comes to life seamlessly throughout everything that the company does. One great example from Frito-Lay is the Sun Chips brand, which started off, you know, a decade ago as just a little bit healthier chip. They recently did an entire rethink of the brand and discovered through research that the people who are buying Sun Chips are obviously healthy and worried about their own health, but those people happen to also worry about the health of the planet at a much higher rate than average. And so they recast the entire brand as to really hit that purpose of being a healthy chip, not only for people but for the world. That hit in some of their advertising. They did some clever things like a outdoor billboard that was powered by a shadow of the sun. But then they've done things like they created a plant in California that's completely powered by solar electricity. And then they've also done something. They made a pledge a couple of years ago, and they're hitting it here. And they have said they will hit it in April 2010 on Earth Day to have the first compostable bag, chip bag.
Oh, wow.
And that's something that, again, a multi-year effort to do something that has to do with the bag, but that hits on that overall purpose. And they've also said that they're going to give the technology to all chip makers, not just keep it to themselves.
That's
so
cool.
Really, really interesting way of kind of, again, blurring that line there.
You forgot to mention that they've also added a variety of new flavors as well, so that works too.
You got it. Yeah. You got to hit on that benefit too along the way.
You know, social media, gosh, you go back, what, 3-4 years, it was hardly existing. Today, it's in a lot of places and a lot of people participating. What do you think social media has caught on so quickly, Bob?
Well, I think it's caught on because it's what we've always done as humans. You know, social media goes back to campfires where people sat around in a circle and talked about who was who and what was what and who owed who money and what was interesting in the day. And that's really what digital and different ways of allowing us to connect, tools like Facebook or Twitter, is just amplifying that many, many times. And of course, you know, what products people use, what experiences they enjoyed, you know, that's something that we talk about in circles of friends in the real world. Of course, that's going to be powered by digital as well. And I think, you know, some stats that I've seen, somewhere I saw that brands are mentioned 30% of the time on Twitter conversations. You know, that's part of our life. It's something that we're spending money on all the time, whether it's a neat experience we have, a product, or trying to save money and make sure we don't make a bad purchase decision. Those things are really ramping up now that we can have these circles of friends communicating more often.
you know, I can't let you get out of here without sharing with our audience the purchase funnel. I know that you believe that one of the more useful ways to establish short-term business objectives is the use of the purchase funnel. Explain what it is.
Well, I mean, overall, you know, it's a tool that's kind of been used for years, and some people have tried to reshape it and do different things. But overall, it's the point that as you start with setting your business objectives, you know, in a marketing plan, starting off with the steps that get you to long-term loyalty, which is becoming aware of the product, you know, at the highest level, the most people do that. The second step is being interested in buying the product, then actually buying it, and then being satisfied with the product and repeating it. So typically, you know, with brands, it's a very high percentage that's aware or high number, and only a smaller percentage end up buying the product, liking it, and repeating it again. And I think that's a very good way for brands to decide where could they apply their marketing dollars to actually be meaningful to people's lives. One example that I love is the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York realized that people are very aware of it, but they're having a hard time getting people who are visiting New York to decide to actually put that on the list of places they go to. And one of the barriers being that people aren't sure if modern art is their thing, and other sightseeing opportunities can be higher. What they did recently is actually allow you to link your Facebook account, again, using social media, and they read some of the things that you have on your Facebook account and make suggestions of what you might like to see when you visit the museum, depending on the days that you go to.
How smart is that?
So a great way of getting over that barrier, using social media, which is becoming pervasive, and helping solve a problem that people have.
I guess we get, unfortunately, have to say goodbye, but I want to recommend this book highly. The Next Evolution of Marketing, Connect with Your Customers by Marketing with Meaning. Bob has a date with a bowl of Skyline Chili, or else he would stick around at this particular point. Marketingwithmeaning.com is where you'll find out more about that site. And Bob, best of luck as you promote this book, and hopefully we can sell a lot for you here.
Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate it.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. More to come here in just a moment. We hope you'll be right here.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Thanks to Bob. It wouldn't have been, was it Bob Jr.? No, I don't think it was. His father.
Says father was named Bob, right?
Okay, so it'd be Bob Jr. Bob Gilbreth Jr. Yeah, really. The Next Evolution in Marketing, marketingwithmeaning.com is the website, and we thank Bob for being a part of the show today. Hey, next week, Kevin Maney is with us. Kevin is the author of The Trade-Off, Why Some Things Catch On and Others Don't. How interesting. We'll find out more about that. Coming up after that, Alex Ben Block, our very favorite guy from The Hollywood Reporter. And we find out absolutely all the dirt and what everything's going on in the beautiful city of Los Angeles or Hollywood, California. So we're coming up on December here. And this is interesting because I remember when this happened, Brad. Time Warner to spin off AOL in December. Media conglomerate Time Warner has said it will spin off the unit, the AOL unit, to shareholders December the 9th. 9 tumultuous years after one of the most disastrous corporate mergers in history, Time Warner shareholders of record will receive an AOL stock dividend for every 11 shares Time Warner common stock they hold. So basically, it's sayonara. Time Warner, and AOL. They are, once again, their own unique and distinct entity. How interesting.
And what would be interesting is to look at the value of that entity when they brought it into the fold versus now as they're spinning AOL off. And just to show you what 9 years can do to you.
9 years, if it's in the wrong relationship, doesn't matter whether it's a marriage relationship or a business relationship. If it's wrong, it's bad, and you suffer the consequences years after that. We brought Jeffrey Gittimer back. It's good to have Jeffrey back. Jeffrey always has a unique twist on communications, and it's really not necessarily specifically about marketing and advertising, but it is about communications, and after all, isn't that what marketing and advertising is all about? Humor, make them laugh. Let's listen to this segment now.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
Making people smile or laugh puts them at ease and creates an atmosphere more conducive for agreement. If they agree with your humor, they're more likely to agree with purchasing your product or your service. I believe that making people smile is a major key in selling. The prospect may not be interested in hearing about your stuff, but they're always looking to smile or laugh. Developing humor takes time. Like all other sales skills, it's got to be learned. And yes, there are some people that are naturally funnier than others. But if you're not very funny, you can learn. The best way I've found is to pay attention to what happens to you. Humor not only helps make the sale, it also helps build the relationship. Laughter is mutual approval, and mutual approval is the fulcrum point of selling. If you can make them laugh, you can make them buy.
But Jeffrey, I'm not a funny person. My sense of humor is about zero.
So go out and study humor. I'm riding down the road with one of my old girlfriends, and she's lamenting to me about the fact that she can't quit smoking. Tried everything. I said, have you tried that gum, that nicotine gum? She said, yeah, I tried it, but I couldn't keep it lit. I walked into a room of guys that were smoking about 6 months ago, and I recounted the story. They laughed, and they bought.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, Gittomer.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
this is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks.
Hey, it's great to have Jeffrey back here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Brad, what do you have there?
Well, before I get to this, we were joking about Bob and his father. We learned from having Bob on that we had his father on back in 07, who was an author of a book, and anyway, it's great to have a
Bob was just knee high. No, he wasn't.
2 years ago. Anyway, I think you'll like this one, Ray. First, the quote from the study. Given the fragmentation of media, printed newspapers are holding on to their audience relatively well. A study from Scarborough Research, if you know who Scarborough is, you know why they're motivated to research this, finds that 74% of adults, that's nearly 171 million, people in the United States during the past week read a newspaper. Now for the qualifier, Ray. Yeah. The study result was for combined numbers for both print and online versions. They're calling that integrated newspaper audience report as far as the study. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but when you say, given the fragmentation of media, printed newspapers are holding on to their audience relatively well, and then you read further.
And then you read further and find out that they've combined this fragmented media into one singular result.
Print and online versions of newspapers. Yeah. Let's go on. That's not right.
Well, obviously somebody forgot to proof that. Because it doesn't.
Well,
make
I mean,
a lot
it's right
sense.
Up there with the. It's right up there with these pharmaceutical-sponsored, you know, research projects that come out and say, you know,
oh yeah,
be alarmed, be afraid, and by the way, take my drug and it'll resolve your fear and help you. So anyway.
Scary. I guess it just goes to show you that as consumers, we need to be cautious and read and listen with our eyes wide open and our ears wide open as well.
To mammogram or not to mammogram?
That is the question. Next week, Kevin Maney, our author of The Trade-Off, Why Some Things Catch On and Others Don't, like research studies or focus groups, better yet, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here at The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.